This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Our next guest on his most recent podcast, which he does as part of his duties on Cleveland.com as a Cavs and NBA reporter, talked about the Cavs might be more inclined to listening to offers for Jared Allen and Darius Garland this offseason, and he is Chris Fedor. He joins us now in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Did I quote you accurately and warmly on the Jared Allen and Darius Garland comment there?
Probably better than the aggregation posts have at this point in time.
I was trying to help that. Like, I saw an aggregated post, and I was like, I'm going to give Fedor credit, but also make sure that this blows up in his face.
I actually had a conversation with one of the players in the Cavs locker room last year, and I said, look, I totally understand if you don't follow me on Twitter, and that's cool, and if you don't follow my Instagram, that's fine, too. And if you don't follow Cleveland.com, that's fine, too. If you don't want to pay the subscription to read my story, I get it. Like, I get it. Your friends are going to send you all of these clips from House of Highlights, Bleacher Report, because they follow all of those accounts and they blow up a lot of the stuff that we write or the stuff that we say. And I said, I'm just going to ask you one thing. Judge me based on my own tweets or based on my own writings. Everything that is below my name, below my byline, not even the headline, but everything that's below my byline, judge me on that and form your opinion based on that. And he said, you know what, Chris? I promise I will do that. I will not overreact to some of this other stuff that I see out there on social media. And it definitely improved the relationship between that player and myself.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I was in and just I'm trying to find ways to present different stories and stuff. And like the one I know was you talking on the latest Wine and Gold Talk podcast where you had a take on how Garland's skill set addresses Minnesota's most glaring weakness. And I'm like, all right, I know that came from Cleveland.com. I'm good there. But then in getting ready for this, I'm like, wait, and then I see like a Jalen Suggs trade. And I'm like, I don't know that Chris said that at all.
So I think the thing that we have to say here when it comes to anything related to the Cavs is that, guys, they're in a good situation. Like, for all of the things that we can be upset about with them flaming out in the playoffs in the second round, and we can have these conversations about how far away are they from a championship, especially with Oklahoma City looming and looking like the next dynasty, like the Warriors of 10 years ago, basically, just based on their roster, based on the upside, based on their salary cap situation, their treasure trove of draft picks that puts them in any big time trade conversation if they have enough motivation. So obviously there are like things that we look at with this Cavs team and say, all right, if we're talking about them being championship contenders, how close are they to New York? How close are they to Indy? How close are they to Minnesota? How close are they to Oklahoma City? But you can't lose sight of the fact that this is a good situation. And you could make an argument that for the next 3 to 5 years, the outlook for the Cavs is better than any other team in the Eastern Conference. There is an argument to be made on that. They have 3 All-Stars, 2 players that made All-NBA, Evan Mobley's Defensive Player of the Year, and there's so much more untapped potential if they get him more involved on the offensive end. Kenny Atkinson won every single Coach of the Year award that there was, and there were a bunch of different ones. Both the media respected him and his peers respected him that kind of way. So it is a good situation that they're in, and I don't think they have to overreact to anything. But something that President of Basketball Kobe Altman said, he said over and over and over again, we've got to figure out the 16-game thing. And I do think that the Cavs have mastered the regular season, and I do think they have shown that they've got 82-game players. But do they have enough 16-game players the way that Indiana does, the way that New York does, the way that we have seen with Minnesota, OKC, Denver, some of these other teams. They have not proven it on the playoff stage the way that some of these other players and some of these other teams have. And if you're starting to have conversations about trying to add more 16 players to this roster, it becomes a little bit complicated based on their salary cap situation, based on their limited assets. And sometimes that requires making some painful decisions. And sometimes that requires opening yourself up to listening and being more open to an idea of moving off of some guys that you may really, really like.
Chris, Shyam said it could be a crazy offseason, like historically crazy offseason. Given the backdrop of what you just said, ultimately, do you think that ends up helping the Cavs make those hard, tough decisions? Maybe it could be a good thing, the insanity around them?
Yeah, I think so. I also think that when the landscape changes, you have to be ready to also make some changes. And you also have to be ready to make hard, difficult choices, and you have to do a harsher evaluation than maybe you were willing to in the past. And I think that's the situation, guys, that the Cavs are now in. This is back-to-back seasons where, yes, they got to the Eastern Conference semifinals, but they weren't competitive in the Eastern Conference semifinals. And you can talk about all of the various reasons for that. But this isn't the kind of loss where you say, we're going to attach a bunch of these qualifiers to it, or we're going to attach a bunch of these excuses to it. It was a 64-win team that just was overmatched against the Indiana Pacers, that was out-toughed, out-physicaled, mentally, physically. They just weren't tough enough. There were some stylistic problems that they ran into against Indiana. So I do think when you have some success like they have had, you can hold on to that. But if the landscape is going to change around you and the status quo is going to look different than what you expected, you have to be willing to also pivot. You have to be willing to make the kind of changes that are going to be necessary. And I brought this up the other day on the podcast. You know, Harrison Barnes was a core player for the Golden State Warriors. He was a guy that they tanked for. He was a starter on a 73-win team. He was a core player until he wasn't, right? Marcus Smart was the heart and soul of the Boston Celtics until they had an opportunity to get Kristaps Porzingis. And you can keep going through the NBA, and it's like, yeah, the Cavs believe in their core four. Yes, the Cavs could make an argument that bringing back all four of those guys continues to give them the best chance to compete for a championship, right? But like, pieces around Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have changed. Those two guys have been the stable ones. Those two guys are the untouchable ones. And when you have a team like the Cavs, yeah, they've got a core four, but there are levels to this. And some guys are going to be more important to the future of this organization than others. Some guys are going to be more important to the short term of this organization than others. And just because they've had a belief in them in the past, and just because they labeled them a certain kind of way in the past, it doesn't mean that they're always going to carry that status. Luka Doncic was untouchable. He was a franchise pillar until he wasn't. So I just think you have to be willing to make difficult decisions if you feel like that's going to be in the best interest of your chances of winning a championship.
All right, within that context then, Chris, do you feel like Kobe Altman and company would be the aggressive party attached to this, like going out and making all the phone calls? Or do you feel like they would be the one that just kind of sits back and, hey, if someone presents us with something and it makes us better, then that's where we start to strike?
I think it's the latter. I do. I don't think they're looking at their situation saying, we've got to be desperate to make these changes, right? Or what we have here doesn't work well enough. Because again, it is a good situation. It is arguably the best in the Eastern Conference over the next 3 to 5 years. So I think it's just, are we going to be presented with the kind of deal that is going to make us a better basketball team, that is going to increase our chances of winning a championship? Is there a deal out there that could capture our attention that we'd actually be willing to say yes to? And look, maybe there isn't. maybe there isn't a deal out there for Darius Garland or Jared Allen or Isaac Okoro or Dean Wade or Max Strus or whoever else you want to throw out there aside from Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley. Maybe there's not a deal out there that they're willing to say yes to. Maybe there's not a deal out there that they think is going to position themselves better to win a championship and have playoff level success. But I think the thing that they understand based on everything that transpired this year is that they don't have enough playoff level performers on this roster, and they have to find a way to get more of those guys. And maybe they look at it and say, well, you know, being through the experience is going to benefit Darius Garland. Being through the experience is going to benefit Kenny Atkinson and Evan Mobley. And some of these other guys are going to be more hardened by that. And they're going to be tougher. And there's an evolution that Evan Mobley can make within his game. And Darius Garland can get better as a basketball player in year two of Kenny Atkinson. Maybe that's the way that they look at it. But I think that the comments from Kobe Altman at the end of the season about the difference between mastering the 82-game season and the 16-game season and everything that we've seen at this stage of the playoffs with some of these other teams and how they're having success and the type of player that they have on their roster. I think the Cavs are honestly asking themselves, do we have enough guys that can be playoff performers, high-level playoff performers?
Chris Fedor in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline here with us. Chris, what teams potentially fit for Darius Garland?
I think there are four that stand out to me. Three are more realistic than the others, but I think you have to include one of them just because the need that they have, and they're going to be a point guard team. Sacramento, Minnesota, Orlando, and New Orleans. Those are the four that stand out to me. I guess there's sort of ish a Boston argument, but I think that gets really, really complex and really convoluted when you're talking about two potential second apron teams. But those other four, Sacramento, I don't see a fit from a Cavs standpoint. I don't think there's enough on that Sacramento roster that would appease the Cavs to get them to say yes. Orlando's, it's no secret. They need more scoring. They need more offense. They need more playmaking, more shot creation. They're probably going to be a Ty Jerome pursuer, although they don't have a lot of money to be that kind of team. They just need somebody to make life easier for Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, and the entire Orlando Magic offense. And if it's not Darius Garland, they're probably going to take a run at Trae Young. I would not be surprised by that at all. They just need that kind of playmaker to help them take the next step, because they're just not good enough. They're just not consistent enough on the offensive end of the floor. And I think there are some salaries there in Orlando that match up well. I do think there is a general framework, not to say that the Cavs and the Magic have discussed this and they've put this in place, but I think if we're talking about this in general terms, I think there's a general framework of Darius Garland for Jalen Suggs that is somewhat appealing. I think there's a general framework in Minnesota of Jaden McDaniels, Dante DiVincenzo, Terrence Shannon Jr. I think there's a general framework in New Orleans of Trey Murphy III and Jose Alvarado and maybe some spare parts. Or if it's not Trey Murphy III, maybe it's Herbert Jones. But those are the three teams that I think match up the best from a salary perspective and a motivation perspective on both sides.
Chris, what is it that you've learned throughout the playoffs that you didn't know coming in? I don't mean Cavs related. I mean, you can adopt the Pacers and attach this to that, or even the Knicks, anything really. Because it feels like we always enter the playoffs and we know exactly how it's going to go down. And now this year, more than ever, it just hasn't gone down that way.
I think we go in cycles when it comes to the NBA, guys. And I think there was one point where it was the Big Three era. And just the way that everything was set up, you had to have multiple stars. Two would be great. Three would probably really increase your chances. And we saw that. But I think we've shifted. Based on the salary cap limitations, based on all the penalties, I think it's more about depth. It just feels more like a year where it's about how playable are 7 through 10. Or how playable and effective can 6 through 9 be in your rotation. And that stands out about Indiana. Like, they can play a bunch of different styles. They can use a bunch of different lineups. And the guys that they go to, maybe one game it is going to be Benedict Mathurin, or another game it's going to be Tony Bradley, or another game it's going to be TJ McConnell. Do you have enough guys behind your main ones that can provide something? And it doesn't have to be an every-game thing, like I said. And it's not an every-game thing with the Indiana guys, and it's not an every-game thing with the OKC guys. But they went to the bench, and Kenrich Williams had a great impact. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I just think, like, how many of your guys do you have on your roster that you can believe in, that you think are going to be playable in a playoff environment? I think the Cavs come short in that department. I think they showed that in the series against Indy. But I think that's the world that we're now living in today's NBA, because it's hard to keep these core groups together. It's hard to have a bunch of high salary players on your roster, just because of all of the stipulations, all of the limitations, and all of the penalties when it comes to team building stuff.
Chris, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you, and I'm sure it's going to be a fun off season. We'll connect quite a bit.
Thanks, Chris.
Sounds great, guys. Anytime.
Chris Fedor on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline gave us plenty to think about there. We'll react to Darius Garland suitors and whether the Cavs should lean into the most recent NBA trend. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I know we've covered some of this previously, mm-hmm. but to Chris's original, and I don't know if we should call it report or, I mean, I get, you know, his kind of opinions on where they are, but I think we'll start here. Should the Cavs listen to offers for both Jarrett and Darius this offseason?
So I liked how he phrased it, because the part I was curious the most about was, will you be the type of team that calls up other teams and says, hey, listen, we're thinking about this Darius Garland for Jalen Suggs deal. Can we make this happen, Orlando? Or are you the type of team that'll sit back and if they come to me and I like something, then okay, fine, we can deal with that, but it's not going to be a 80 cents on the dollar type trade. We're not going to seem like we're the ones really desperate to make this move. And so I kind of like that that's the Cavs' positioning. They're going to be the ones that sit back and they wait for someone to come to them instead of trying to make something happen.
I mean, the risk in that is it
doesn't. Nothing ever materializes.
Yeah. And so, listen, I think the most important thing is if you trade Darius, you can't get 80 cents on the dollar. You have to get full freight for Darius. With Jared Allen, I can understand some. All right, you know, we're going to two pieces make the are worth the whole. Maybe it's 90% of the value instead of 100, right? Darius, he really is. I know he doesn't fit anymore. I know that there's a real conversation there. He still is a tremendous player. And wherever he goes that he's the one or two option, he's going to be tremendous even further.
I agree with that. I feel like if you're trying to shake it up and everyone knows you're trying to shake it up, you're not going to get the full freight for it. That's why Fedor said Suggs for Garland was one of the deals that he thought would have the framework for it. Jalen Suggs is not anywhere close to Darius Garland, in my opinion, as far as a basketball player is concerned.
He also has more of an injury concern.
Yeah, he didn't even finish last season. He had the injury. He's great.
His hairline's also a real problem.
It's
a 25-year-old. I mean, come on. What are we doing here?
You know, I always say never bet on a guy with male pattern baldness when it comes to the NBA. Am I right?
Yeah, we're not judging. We're follically challenged
and
as well.
And we're also not going to play in the NBA with good reason.
We're also not dating. Who's he dating? Paige Beckers? Paige Becker? Who's
Haley Van Lith?
Haley Van Lith, yeah.
Oh. I'm sorry. I was not familiar with your game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mac right, was then. Right on that. The research.
Well,
there was no Google.
If I wasn't Anthony Atlanta.
Obviously. I mean, I did. Mac hasn't been able to put the Sports Illustrated photos of her down yet. The point being is that,
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Great defensive player, you know?
So the Orlando thing just doesn't work for me.
He can score. It's just, I don't find anyone, I can't find a single person that'd be like, Suggs for Garland, let's do it. Like, it doesn't exist. It's 80 cents on the dollar.
Orlando just doesn't work for me, even if they were to say Franz Wagner. Like, I think Franz is more of what you need. He has not been a good enough outside shooter to warrant, like, if.
I thought he had a really good step in his game last year, though. I thought he really made some strides.
Oh, no, he's a really good player. And yeah. If he shot 38% from three, I would feel completely different about him. He doesn't. He's about, I think, a 32% three-point shooter last year, if I remember correctly. I just think it makes there's a part of me that wants Darius, unless you get like a Tyler Hero, unless you get like a Desmond Bane,
Well, you heard the Minnesota package that he tried throwing out there too, Chris did. And I think Chris is living in the land of what's realistic. Because if you're going to be the person that just kind of takes all the trades coming to you, I think these are going to be the type of offers. The question you got to ask yourself is, do we want to shake it up to shake it up, or are we going to really try to get the very best package we possibly can?
So I don't hate the McDaniels, DiVincenzo, although I don't love it, and one of their young guards. I'd prefer Dillingham to Shannon, but I don't hate that package. I just, the fact that they don't have a lot of first rounders to throw in is where, like, if I'm going to give you the best player in the deal, and we're going to get a really nice starting forward, a nice role player, you know, 2/3, but wing player with playoff experience, and a guard with upside who did diddly squat in the NBA last year, I'm going to need some future first so that I can maybe spin those assets forward if I need to. That's the thing I don't love about the Minnesota.
Minnesota would be dangerous with Darius, though. Like, I saw what Chris was doing from Minnesota's perspective. I think that'd actually be perfect for them.
I get why every one of these teams wants Darius.
Orlando, too. Yeah, same exact thing. I mean, you throw him with Banchero and Wagner, and like, that's fantastic.
But can we agree?
As Gus Johnson calls him, Banchero.
Gets me every time. But can we agree, like, I don't want to give Orlando a player that is going to create their big three that's going to put them 2 steps closer to an NBA title, and then we get like a role player with injury problems who has a problematic hairline.
Unless the Cavs view Darius a little bit differently now, unless they just view him as somebody that's always going to just be perpetually injured, and they don't look at it like they're giving Orlando this great piece that we look at it as.
I got to say, I think New Orleans makes the most sense. I think Trey Murphy and Jose Alvarado, who would then become your backup point guard, whether it's Trey Murphy and...
You liked DeJounte Murray yesterday.
It's funny because the whole point, like most years, you wouldn't get Trey Murphy and DeJounte Murray for Darius Garland and a couple other contracts. The only reason you get that kind of value is because he's coming off an Achilles injury that happened in February. So you would have to sign like a Tyus Jones as your point guard and say, hey, this is your audition. And then when DeJounte Murray comes back, he's going to be the starting point guard.
It feels a little bit like the NFL offseason where you're just kind of like, you know that there's a quarterback that's going to just shake open, kind of like Matthew Stafford was this year. It was like, Matthew Stafford, we did a 2-week deal on whether or not it's going to actually materialize or not. But there's always a quarterback or two that just comes out of absolutely nowhere. It feels like, if ever, this NBA offseason is going to be that. There's going to be a couple guys that we haven't talked about, because we've talked about some of the same retreads. Cam Johnson comes up with the Cavs every single 3 weeks, it feels like. Yeah. He's once again back in the picture. We get these guys all the time. I feel like there's going to be a couple players that we haven't necessarily thought of or even given credence to their team, given up on them, and that might just be the difference.
I really like New Orleans. I mean, now, granted, I know you do. I've liked that roster for a while because I like Trey Murphy. I like Herb Johnson. Previously, I would have made a deal for Brandon Ingram, for Darius Garland. Like, that wouldn't have stopped me, even though Brandon has his own problems that he comes with, including a massive love for the mid-range. But, like, even beyond that, like, Jordan Hawkins, I think, is a guy that still has talent. Messi, the kid that they got from Baylor, who's a backup center, I'd want him as part of a deal. Like with Minnesota, okay, kind of like their pieces. I don't know any of their guys are a starter here. With New Orleans, they're multiple starters. The Sacramento thing's a non-starter, even though it's out west. But, again, I think if you're trading Darius, I got to send him west, because I don't want to see that guy in the playoffs in a situation where they're building around him.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought process, because I hadn't considered too much if I need to avoid the East completely with Darius, if I value Darius so much that I need to keep him away from the East. But I see what you're saying in many ways when it comes to Orlando, because I really do think he might just be the piece that Orlando needs to put him over the top.
Like with Miami, all right, if you're going to give us Hero and you get Darius and we get, you know, the kid Hawkes, well, I think we made you stronger in a different way and weaker in another.
Yeah.
With Orlando, if they're keeping Wagner and Banchero, you might just have made them better than you and better than most of the Eastern Conference. And okay, where are you at?
Yeah.
It puts all the eggs in the basket of, well, and I think Jalen Suggs makes very close to what Darius makes. So in a way, you're bailing them out of a bad contract. I don't know. Listen, I'm not anti-trading Darius. I think if you can get the right deal, I think that can be the thing that can have you in the finals next year and winning the finals. And I think the Cavs seem to be geared towards, we've got to make this easier for Donovan, and we got to make it easier for Evan. Emphasis on Donovan, though. So if you're going to do that, the easiest way is you can just make the pieces fit around him better and get better shooting and get better toughness defensively. And I think that's attainable with Darius. I don't think it's attainable with Jarrett. I think with Jarrett, you're going to get a really nice potential, maybe six-man or even like a fifth starter kind of thing, and then a nice reserve and maybe a pick or two. But, like, yeah. I think that's what you're going to get for Jarrett, and I don't think that shakes up the bench at all.
Probably not enough. What I enjoy is the idea that it just in 2 weeks, all of a sudden, we've completely changed the Kobe Altman end-of-season press conference.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter to say. I mean, we said it at the time. We called it out at the time. Like, he's saying all these things. We heard him say things similar in years past that he really loves this core four, and this is going to be the team and move forward. And listen, last year he stuck to that word, but it just felt like this year was going to be a little bit different. Early indications are it's going to be a little bit different.
I think Jarrett, and by the way, it's not just Jarrett or not just Jarrett or Darius. I think it should be both. I think you can, and again, that's going to be massive change around him. Yep, that's fine. That's what next regular season's for. The point is, if you're getting guys ready for that spot, this is how you do it.
Yeah, I mean, Donovan and Mobley are the untouchables. Everything else, we can have a conversation and we can talk about it.
216-474-0092. Want to hear from you guys on this one. Should the Cavs listen to offers for Darius and Jarrett? And it's something I just realized today. And now I've thought back in history, and all of it annoys me. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Forgive me if this is going over my head. I just don't understand the logic. I mean, we've made massive progress since last year, and I think the defensive player of the award to Mobley and Donovan getting awards as well, not to mention Garland's performance this season minus the injuries, in combination with Kenny Atkinson's coach of the year, is all proof of that. I think if you're looking for playoff success, you need a larger time span than one season to another to evaluate if you're moving in the right direction. From what we've seen, we have with this group of guys, especially with the bench. You've got some depth. You've got some scoring. I just don't understand why it's not just a consideration, but almost a prevalent theory at this point.
Well, I think it's because it's been 3 years with this core, and I think they've gotten exposed in the playoffs each of the last 3 years. So I think it's, you're right to say in the regular season, we've seen them take steps forward as a team. And the problem is once they get into the postseason, they're either hurt or they regress to the worst version of themselves. Like, all due respect to Indiana, that should have been a more competitive series. All due respect to Boston a year ago, that should have been a more competitive series. And certainly 3 years ago, that Knicks series should have been more competitive than it was. All three of those ending in a gentleman's sweep when you were the favorite in two of the.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Grocery series.
All right, Colin.
All right.
Ask, Dan, answer. He loved the answer
so
much.
Too much.
It was a lot. Because I think he was working off of a one-year, it's only been one season. And maybe that's just Atkinson. I think a lot of people reset just based off of Atkinson. I take your approach with it. This has been 3 years. This has not been 1 year. This has been 3 years. And you have to treat everything that happened all in the cycle. But there are fans out there that look at it like it's been 1 year with Atkinson, and this is entirely too early.
Not to go all Kobe Altman on you, but the whole idea of increasing in the margins, because that was something you pointed out a multiple amount of times, you can get worse from a talent perspective, but if your pieces fit together, you've actually increased on the margin significantly.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's part of the problem with this team and what makes them so confusing. Like, I heard, you know, I like Nick Wright a lot. Nick was going through some of the East teams earlier today, and he was like, and the Cavs, they got so much talent, just doesn't work out for some reason.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the true whole everything about this Cavs team is that we all know they have a bunch of talent. It just all doesn't work. Two bigs, two guards that are too tiny. It's a puzzle that doesn't have all the right pieces.
That's where I think you're onto something. Like, this is why it can't just be about trading Jarrett. Like, that's a good potential first step, but you're still going to have issues with how the NBA is going to attack you because Darius and Donovan, they both play similar games. They're both undersized point guards. Darius is a true point guard. Donovan's a combo guard. But at some point, you know, like, you made a choice that this was Donovan's team 3 years ago, and I think we've seen for three straight years, I don't think it can be Darius and Donovan's team for them to succeed in the postseason.
I think sometimes people think about the NBA and you think about it in the same way that we look at baseball sometimes. It's like, oh, I just added a 7-win player and he can work with a 6-win player. Yeah. We got so much better. It's like the pieces don't matter the same way in baseball as they do in basketball. How it all fits matters so much. And that's why the Pacers right now are thriving, Nick.
Yeah,
they have such a great bench and everything, but think about what Tyrese Halliburton does on any given night and how he's able to make everything work. But he's still the star at the end of the day. Offense still goes through him, but if he needs to facilitate, he doesn't.
Well, and the crazy part,
makes it all work.
The crazy part about Donovan is, on one hand, there's just an overlap on how much Donovan and Darius, even in the playoffs, need the ball in their hands to be the best. To keep Donovan healthy, you do need like a true point guard, but you need a true point guard that is more low usage and somebody who gives you the 3-point shooting of Donovan, but maybe with some length and with some physicality that can then help protect Donovan. And you know, when you're trading off on screens, you can kind of hide Donovan on the court.
Yeah, and even some of the other parts of the game too. Like just even the defensive side of the ball. You know, I mean, we kind of got on the idea that Boston would just match up hunt against Darius all day, but when they were doing that, all of a sudden you turn around and the other side of it, Donovan was taking on more of the tougher opponents. Let's put it that way.
Dylan in Twinsburg, welcome to the show, Dylan.
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's doing up, all Dylan? Right, buddy?
There's no way I would break up, you know, Garland and Jared Allen at this point. Again, I don't know how long you watch basketball, or particularly NBA basketball.
157 years.
It's been a long time.
Well, you know, the key thing about it is you don't break the team up when they win 64 games. And I understand the playoffs are a whole lot different. The only criticism that I would levy in the whole thing is the maturity level and getting tougher. And those things, and, you know, again, I listened to, you know, Richard Jefferson and a few other people on your radio station. And I'm just telling you guys, you don't do that, you know, at this point. That would be, you know, cutting your nose off to spite your face when you're talking about breaking up the core right now. These guys are maturing the level. The same thing, you know, I can give countless examples. You look at it, OKC. Did they break up their core four after, you know, last year? They didn't do that.
Well, yeah, but they did trade Josh. Wait, real quick, but they did trade Josh Giddey to Chicago for a lesser player in Alex Caruso, who fit what they needed better. Like they did subtract from their core in Josh Giddey.
Yeah, he's not. The whole point of it, that's not really your core. I'm looking at it just like this. You guys are summarily dismissing injuries. Like it's just like, oh, it just happened. No, when you like Garland relies on any guard relies on his speed and shiftiness. He had a toe injury. So you're going to get rid of him because, like, he had a toe injury, or like last year, he had a jaw injury.
It's a lot of injuries,
you know,
Dylan.
Winning a championship, yeah, I understand that. But, like I said, winning a championship is hard. We had one of the greatest players to ever play. It took us to come back from a 3-1 deficit. It's not easy. It's like, oh, yeah, let me switch this guy out with this. It doesn't work that way. And I know I expect more from you, JP. Stop co-signing everything Nick said.
Yeah, seriously. Thank you, Dylan.
Thanks, Dylan. I expect more from me, too.
By the way, every team in the NBA prunes that tree. Boston did it with Marcus Smart. I thought that was a great point. And not just Marcus Smart. The only two people that have been consistently there the last 8 years have been Tatum and Brown. If you look at everybody else that was there, Terry Rozier, no longer there. He went for Kemba Walker. Oh, by the way, Kemba was there. His legs fell off. Kemba was no longer there. Horford's gone there and back a few times. Like we have to decide whether you want to win championships or whether you want to like love every player you have. Here's the thing. Every member of the core four, I have a big amount of admiration for. And if we're just in the business of feeling good and feeling great, fine. Then bring them back. But the problem is, the NBA championship has never been more attainable for a team like Cleveland. We're seeing it with Indiana. We're seeing it with Denver. We're
just
seeing it with...
see how open the East actually is.
And the East is a hell of a lot more open than the West is.
It's there for the taking. Like, that's the thing. You're a couple moves away. It's there from the taking. Like, that's the part that makes me really want to do something, is that it's not like I feel like you run it back and, oh, you got some big wall that you're going to run into and be stopped with. No. You have a real chance to win an actual title. You just got to make the right moves.
You really got to stop agreeing with me, though. You're just what show is he listening to that you and I just co-sign everything?
There's two routes I could have gone. I could have laughed and just kind of shrugged it off, or I then in turn could have got defensive. But I think Dylan wanted that.
And you know what? I think Dylan,
is he trying to drive a stake through us here?
Yeah, they're trying to do what you do with me and Mac.
No. That's just authentic, and that's how that one goes.
Yeah, that's interesting. Alex and Fairlawn, authentic. Real quick, buddy, what you got for us?
Hey, John, how you doing?
Pretty good.
How's it going?
Thank you, bud.
Good. I really don't think you can be breaking up the score four. You saw what they did in the regular season. This is a first-year coach, and the reason we got gentlemanly swept is the whole team was hobbled. I mean, like you watch the game. I mean, Garland couldn't move. And another point to make is if you're trying to trade Ty Jerome, I think you just completely blew up his trade value.
So he's a – just real quick, Alex, he's actually a free agent, and it actually might have helped – you bring Ty Jerome back because he blew up his trade value so much.
Well, yeah, it's a good point, but with that being said, do you want him back? Considering
yes.
how he
so crumbled? So I think that's actually a really good question, because I think some people have moved on. We appreciate you, bud. I think now that Ty's number's going to come down because of how bad he looked in the postseason, I would bring him back, but you have to put him in the right situation. He can't be your starting point guard. Like, the role he had in the Miami series is the perfect one, which is Ty Jerome hot tonight? Yes, he plays 30 minutes. No, he doesn't play 30 damn minutes. And you just didn't have that flexibility because of Darius's health in the second half of the Miami series and certainly in the first half of the Indy series.
Yeah, it's amazing the amount of money that it seems like he cost himself. Because there would have been a team like the Nets or someone that would have paid him $50, $60 million. It's just not going to be there now.
I mean, there was even some debate about that beforehand. Now that happened, I'd actually kind of be surprised at this moment if he wasn't back next year.
I hope he doesn't sit up at night thinking about that. I'm sure he does. I hope he doesn't.
I don't think Ty sits up most nights thinking about much things.
I hope that's the case.
Like, I think he seems like a really low-key dude. He seems like a dude who just kind of rolls off his back.
Kind of describing him like Forrest Gump a little bit. I don't know that Ty Jerome appreciates that.
No, I don't know. I'm just saying he's a very naturally mellow-seeming guy.
You got to be a couple fries short of a happy meal if you're not staying up thinking about the amount of money that you cost yourself.
Or he just doesn't have debilitating anxiety like you and I do.
Because you know that's all we would think about. I couldn't be a pro athlete for a lot of reasons. Like, but the biggest one is the amount of money I just realized I cost myself in having just cold streaks or stretches, or like, with the PGA Tour, how they have like different putts that turn out to be worth like $300,000 or $400,000 at the end of it.
Yeah.
That would just drive me insane.
216. I'm actually calm, cool, and collected when everything hits the fan, so that's when I'll be my best. I'm kind of like the Forrest Gump of sports talk. 216-474-0092. Kind of. In certain ways. Should the Cavs listen to offers for the core four, specifically Darius and Jarrett, and an update on Shadir versus Joe Flacco in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.